Welcome back to the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Government leaders need to use the instruments of national power to provide present-day security while setting the conditions for a secure future. Leaders are responsible for envisioning, shaping, and safeguarding the future, creating clarity amidst uncertainty. This is no small feat, and it's made increasingly difficult in the 21st century, where rapid, unforeseen change seems to be the only constant. In this inaugural piece, we seek to provide critical insights that will help national security leaders. To do this, we present the perspectives of two leading thinkers, Professor Joseph S. Nye Jr. and General Anthony Zinni. Both bring a rare combination of practical and reflective erudition. We hope that their perspectives present new ways of thinking about power, security, and leadership in the 21st century. Here's Professor Nye on power and its dimensions in 21st century world affairs.
Well, power is simply the ability to affect others to get the things you want. And there are three ways to do that. You can threaten people with coercion, sticks. You can pay them, carrots. Or you can attract them and persuade them to want what you want. And that third way I call soft power. In practice, you need to use all three: economic, military, and persuasive power, or smart, to create smart power, which is the combination of hard and soft power. We sometimes talk about power as though it's just twisting arms, but that's not adequate. In fact, if you can set the agenda for others, and if you can set or help to establish their preferences so that they want what you want, then you can get a lot done without twisting arms.
Professor Nye quite effectively uses the metaphor of a complex three-dimensional chessboard to describe the distribution of global power.
Well, no metaphor is perfect, but the three-dimensional chess metaphor reminds people that power always depends on the context and that the distribution of power is very different in each context. So power in the military area may be very different from power in the economic or in the transnational area. Let me tell you what I mean. Think of this three-dimensional chessboard and the top board of military relations among states. In that board, the Americans are the only global superpower. We're about half of world's military expenditure. Nobody can balance that power. And we're likely to remain that way for, I would say, another decade or two. So on the top board, people often say the distribution of power in the world is unipolar. Go to the middle board of economic relations among states, and it's quite clear that the world is multipolar. Economics is the area where Europe can act as one entity when it wishes to, and when it does, its economy is larger than that of the United States. In addition, you have China, Japan, and others who we have to bargain with to get what we want. That's multipolar. But you go to the bottom board of transnational relations, things that cross borders outside the control of governments. That could be anything from hot money flows to criminal gangs to cyber terrorism to impersonal processes like climate change or pandemics. In that area, power is chaotically distributed. Nobody's in charge. This is the area where diffusion of power is increasing the number of challenges to governments.
When he joined me on the Business of Government Hour, Professor Nye explored characteristics of soft and smart power.
Well, on the soft power dimension, it grows largely out of a country's culture, its values when a country lives up to its values, and from its policies, when the policies are seen as legitimate in the eyes of others. So sometimes you can find that a country will have values which are attractive, but policies which at least temporarily are unattractive. We gain soft power from our culture and values. Well, smart power simply means the ability to combine hard and soft power into effective strategies in different contexts. And if you look at basically the policy statements of the Obama administration, there is a strong desire to integrate, in this case, the hard power capacities of the Defense Department and the softer power capacities of the State Department. If you go back to 2007, when Secretary of Defense Gates was still in the Bush administration, he went out to Kansas City and gave the Landon speech, in which he said the United States needs to do more in soft power. He said, we in the military can't solve all the problems that we face. We need a stronger partner in the State Department. And he said it may seem odd for a Secretary of Defense to come out here and ask for resources for the state. But he said that's the way the world is.
Professor Nye underscores that we have to learn to use the instruments of government in a more coordinated fashion.
That means that state and defense are going to have to work very closely together, but so will also Treasury and others be involved. I think it's something which is now widely agreed that a smart power strategy should do this, but it's much harder to implement.
In the end, leadership is essential. General Anthony Zinni, former commander of the U.S. Central Command, spoke to me about the global leadership crisis.
I think we have a leadership crisis, and it's not just when I began my last book, I researched to begin with what people feel about leadership. I was shocked to find that somewhere around 75% to 80% of American people think we have a crisis in leadership across the board in every element of our society. And it's not just the United States. Globally, we feel that way. I think that the conditions in the 21st century lead to that. It's a much more complex and complicated world. And so to be competent, you truly have to master not just a narrow field of capabilities, but a very broad field of capabilities. Our leaders are under much greater scrutiny than they have ever been before. I think the demands from those we lead are greater now. They understand more what could be done because of the information technology, understanding of a better world. The demands are higher. Expectations are higher. The stresses, the changes, the degree to which you have to be far more competent in so many different areas, understanding the speed that you have to operate in today and the environment that requires quick decisions, mastering information technology that has overwhelmed us and made the world much smaller and tighter and well-informed, all have impacted on leadership. And so there's a different kind of leader that has to come out now. And I think the old ways of leading won't be effective in this modern world.
General Zinni identifies characteristics of a successful leader.
And I found that first of all, they understood the people they lead. They're able to operate with a greater ability to touch all the people they're with. They understand themselves better. They're much more self-aware. They seek improvement. They seek coaching and mentoring. The successful leaders, they don't assume they get it. They're constantly learning. It's a thinking environment they create. They're critical thinkers. They're systems thinkers. They're creative thinkers. They make decisions based on analysis. They recognize patterns. It's recognitional decision makers. They become more instinctive based on their ability to analyze their experiences and educate themselves. They have a tremendous set of values. They understand the importance of ethics and moral behavior. And because of the scrutiny they're under, I think institutions and leadership now are more successful. There's more demand for it now. They're strategic thinkers. They're visionaries. They look out beyond just the immediate future, the next quarter in business or the next year or two. They have a place they want to reach in a decade or two. They work the organization to that. They understand organization. They're willing to take risks. They'll change organizations. They adapt quicker. They streamline and flatten organizations. It's not the old, you know, tiered sort of Christmas tree block and wire diagram. They know that won't work. It's too ponderous. It's too slow. It isn't effective. It's hard to change. They appreciate technology, especially information technology. They understand that's where the future is. You have to master it, use it, keep up with how quickly it changes and improves. They're effective communicators, both internally and externally. They can lead through crisis and they can lead through change. It's basically the effects are the same. And recognize the fact that in this day, this, you know, very difficult, complex set of times, that in this day and age, every organization will go through significant crisis or change.
General Zinni reflects on the Goldwater-Nichols Act and its implications for the future.
I think the brilliance of Goldwater-Nichols is the fact that the integrating element was not set up as a separate bureaucracy. Most of the times when reform is needed and integration is the problem, as we saw in the intelligence problems post 9/11 and Homeland Security, the answer to integration is create another structure, add more bureaucracy, add more tiers, and that becomes dysfunctional in the end. What Goldwater-Nichols said to the services, we're not going to create a separate – the joint structure will be manned from the services. You will man it, and you will man it with people that won't come from the outside but from the inside. You will serve tours in the joint world. I watched this from the mid-'80s. Goldwater-Nichols was passed, so I left the service in 2000. I saw us go through three phases. I would describe the first phase as deconfliction. And it was a very defensive era. I mean, we began to work through this. We found some of the service issues we thought were issues you could actually resolve. So we moved into the second phase, which I think really began maybe in the early 90s, which I would call the coordination phase. We actually found, let's not just deconflict, we could actually work together. And the synergy, you know, that came from that, the efficiencies and effectiveness could be great. And then I think by the time I left, I saw true integration. So if I had a recommendation, we need to fix government. Not since the 1947 National Security Act have we had a major restructuring of our government to sort of look out to the world and face it better prepared, better organized, better processed to do it, better resourced and more intelligently resourced to do it. We need that again. It needs to be bipartisan.
Stay tuned as we wrap up this edition of the Business of Government magazine.